the deepest, darkest grooves, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious. It's time for a big, scary show.
Adam Williams from Birmingham Oddities, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Tom Strong from FindAHaunt.com. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, everybody, this is Nick Wolf giving a big shout out to all the fans of The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is James from Dark Lane Haunted Attraction, Childersburg, Alabama. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Kevin Hopkins from Cumming, Georgia, and I work with the Dark Rose Haunted Corn Maze in Dawsonville, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show, and I'm January Gruesome Giveaway winner.
This is Steven Stockinger with the Realm of Fear in Mooresville, North Carolina, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Doug Schaefer with VFX, VFXCreates.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, I'm Eric Simplinski of Agony LLC. We're from Joliet, Illinois, and you are listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Jody Bosser from Haunted Nightmare out in Seattle, Washington, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, it's Al Driver from Flawhouse Studios. You're listening to The Big Scary Show.
This week on This Old Big Scary Show, we're going to make old haunts new again. We're going to HauntCon, got the big wrap-up. We're going to talk with the experts. Agony LLC, Birmingham Oddities, Find a Haunt, VFX. We'll even probably hear from Tater to find out how to make those old haunts new from the coverage from HauntCon. And hey, let's wrap it up with the HauntCon guy himself, Leonard. He'll tell you all about what went on this show to make your haunt better for this coming year. Then, we're going to go out to Roundtable of Terror, where the hosts have a special guest, Larry Kirchner. Larry's going to tell us all things Larry, all things Trans World, all things going on with Haunt World, and we'll get a lot of in-depth information about what's going on with the Darkness, expansions, moving, closings. Get all the details, find out why, and, you know, everything that's going on in Larry's world. Party on. Excellent. And hey, don't miss the regular features that we have on this week's This Old Big Scary Show. We got the news with Badger, Haunt Minute, where we're going to find out about zombie houses, Jerry Vane brings you the music to keep your old haunt new and sounding great, and the Unknown Scare Actor is bringing you something new, a brand new segment to spiffy up any haunted attraction and keep your brain going in the right way, the Scare Actor Studio with the Unknown Scare Actor. Lots more surprises, great information, the awesome tunes, and hey, would it be a Big Scary Show if we weren't giving away a gruesome giveaway? So we're going to hear from our gruesome giveaway winner from last episode. All this, much more, so it's time to get working on this week's episode of This Old Big Scary Show.
Hey everyone, Drew Badger, we are live. HauntCon, Birmingham, Alabama, checking out vendors and all the prop makers and all this stuff. I keep hearing this giant crash every few minutes. Had to go investigate. It's the Agony LLC booth. They got some deluxe drop-down menus. Now, everyone's been to a haunted house with a drop-down, drop-down window that just makes a loud crash, scares a lot of people. These are not just ordinary drop-downs. These are deluxe drop-downs. Let's find out what makes them deluxe. Eric, how you doing today?
Great. Our standard model uses a aluminum 1/8-inch plate that slams down. It's weighs 8 pounds, so it's really easy on the Acura. It's built into an all-steel frame. The deluxe model that you're talking about, we cut holes in. We back it with a piece of Lexan for safety, so you never put your fingers or anything through it. We have two different models of that. One is to look like a window of a house, and the other one we do is a security glass-type window that we have built into a doorway.
I really like that one. That one really looks kind of cool as you go in and you walk around. It looks like, you know, you're just kind of like walking through an area and all of a sudden, bam, one of these things pops out and gets you. How do you trigger one of these things?
Well, it's all Acura operated. It's a very easy switch. It takes your thumb and the whole thing's going. And again, very easy to reset. Mm-hmm. With it being as lightweight as it is, the actors can do it all night long without getting tired.
Having been an actor for many years, I have spent my time behind drop-down, you know, drop panels and all this stuff, and it can get really tedious after a while, especially if you're working with some heavy material for loud sounds, but yet you get the loud sound without the heavy weight.
Definitely. That's from the aluminum panel striking the steel stop at the bottom.
So what do? You just pull thing here, or
just
flip that, flip that
thumb?
Little thing, and ow, that's pretty darn loud, especially right here. So
yes.
And you can do that all night long with no problem.
All night long with no problem, over and over again. The thing's going to last you a long time.
Excellent. So what other things does Agony have out here?
At the show, we're showing off also our Cage Maze product, which is basically wall panels that you can see through the entire thing. You could set a whole haunt up, you know, 1,500 square feet, 2,000 square feet in a couple hours.
Oh,
we
sure.
make different fittings, so depending on what layout you have, we put it into our CAD software, and we make sure you get everything you need for it to come out perfect. And again, nothing is more like disorienting for somebody. You can see the exit, you can see the door you have to get to.
You
have actors
to
running
it.
There, and you just cannot get to it.
One of the best cage mazes I went to last year. It was not really large. It was maybe about 500-600 square feet, but it was extremely disorienting. They filled the room with fog, and they had one of those lasers that kept having mm-hmm. the dots everywhere.
Yep.
It wasn't beams, it was dots, fog, and a cage maze. It was absolutely disorienting. I loved it. I went through twice. It was great.
Great. The other great thing with ours is it breaks down really fast. They're 1 inch thick. You can have 50 panels, and it's 50 inches tall. You're not having plywood wall panels with 2x4 stacked to the ceiling in two piles. You can actually get this. It's very good for, you know, a breakdown haunt.
Now, you just have a couple of small things here at HauntCon, obviously, and you've been at Transworld for years. What are some of the, or do you have any of the big new products coming out that you'll be advertising later on this season?
Yeah, we do have a lot of new products coming out at Transworld. We have some escape room things that are very fun. We always have our tunnels set up there. We do sell a lot of spinning tunnels, custom paint jobs on all of them. It's not like any you've seen before. This year at the show, we're going to be debuting our carousel, which is actually a rotating floor.
Nice.
That you're going to walk on. It's going to be a music box theme. There's four girls that, as it spins, they spin around. There's a birdcage type thing in the middle with a girl swinging on a swing. It's going to be really great. Once you finally get to the door and you think you're done with this, that's when we turn it on and we can put you right by where you came in like it will never end.
Oh, that's just horrible. I'm going to hate that, I know. But I'll probably go through about five of them in the next couple of years.
Definitely.
So for people wanting information on these great drop panels here, once again, all you got to do is push this and ow, that is loud. Once again, how do you get more information on all this really cool stuff that Agony LLC puts out?
You can find us online at agonyllc.com. We also have a Facebook page we update more regularly. And you can contact me direct at 815-405-7968 for any questions you have.
Fantastic. Eric, again, a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show. I'm going to go reset these drop panels and probably scare somebody walking by here at HauntCon, Birmingham, Alabama. My name's Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and we are out. Thank
you. Do you want online ticketing but get scared by service fees? HauntPay is scary simple ticketing and payments for your haunted attraction. with features made for haunts, including timed ticketing and repeat time slots, variable ticket types, bundled and combo tickets, social media discounts, and more. HauntPay is designed with haunted attractions in mind. Check them out at hauntpay.com and start now for free.
Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We have news from the Darkness Haunted House in St. Louis that'll be open during Transworld. The biggest haunted house tour of the year will happen in St. Louis, Missouri, March 16th through the 19th, 2016, and tickets are on sale now. Get your tickets now at thedarkness.com for the biggest haunted house tour we've ever produced, which includes The Darkness, Terror Visions 3D, Monster Museum, Outdoor Scare Zones, and our all-new Silo X zombie-themed haunted house. Additionally, we are offering behind-the-scenes tours, seminars, and more of our world-class escape rooms. If that wasn't enough, learn how to build and operate your own zombie laser tag using your existing attraction. Learn how with a seminar, then suit up with real combat weapons and kill zombies. This is simply the biggest tour we've ever produced, with everything from behind-the-scenes tours of all the haunted houses, including Silo X, to escape room seminars and tours, and lastly, zombie laser tag. The Darkness Tour this year will help you learn how to utilize your haunted house year-round with escape games and that zombie laser tag. The Darkness every year is totally renovated, and this year is no exception as you'll experience Silo X, the zombie-themed attraction which was built from scratch. Every single person who comes to the Darkness Tour will gain the opportunity to get free 3D pictures courtesy of 3D Pro Plus. This event is sponsored by www.fearticket.com. Zombie Laser Tag is produced by apocalypseglobal.com. And of course, get more info at thedarkness.com. We have this news from Warehouse 31 Haunted Attraction in Pelham, Alabama. Ironically, just there during HauntCon. Are you looking for a thrill, adrenaline rush, or feeling a little heartburn this Valentine's? Warehouse 31 offers a unique entertainment experience this Valentine's weekend, February 12th through the 14th. Both indoor haunted attractions will be open with a theme of Bloody Valentine's, Relationships Gone Wrong. Owner of Warehouse 31 and Venue 31, Jason Sills, says, "This is our third year of entertaining folks for Valentine's. We've had great success the last 2 years with attendance, and I've also been blown away by all the incredible reviews that we receive from our customers. It's fun entertainment that is an alternative to the traditional Valentine's night out. Monsters and creatures will be giving relationship and love advice, replacing broken hearts, and pulling some out. Creating entertainment to the level Sills desires requires elaborate sets, adding in around 80 actors and staff, and some realistic props. Warehouse 31 and Life South have teamed up to get again for another blood drive. Life South will be at Warehouse 31 on Friday, February 12th, collecting blood starting at 6 p.m. Those that donate blood will receive a free ticket to Warehouse 31 that can be used either for entry on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night. While patrons wait to enter Warehouse 31, they can stay warm inside and enjoy a horror movie on the big screen. Food and drinks are available for purchase, including beer, wine, and sodas. Tickets are on sale now at warehouse31.com and through Eventbrite, or they can be purchased at the box office during the event. And make sure to get more information at www.warehouse31.com. We have this news from Haunted Hell Nashville in Antioch, Tennessee. The second installment of Valentine's in Hell, The Massacre, will give everyone a dark glimpse of what the 2016 Halloween season will have to offer. More interaction, more violence, more extreme, and more screams. This is a full contact event. Get your info at facebook.com/hauntedhellnashville. We have this movie news from Grindhouse Nights at Cafe Z, February Frightmares Film Festival in Union, New Jersey. Come and get your freak on with the best local indie horror anywhere. Join us at Cafe Z, 2333 Morris Avenue in Union, New Jersey, February 27th and 28th. We screen some awesome indie films, mix and mingle with the filmmakers, and torment them with questions. Hang out with amazing costumed entertainers and check out some great performers as well. All of this along with great food, drinks, and friends. The film lineup includes feature film, Witchmaster General, short film, House Witch, short film, Attack of the Killer Chickens. The short film, The Sin Reapers, a short film, Wednesday's Child, Christina, short film, Jimbo, the short film, Jack is Pretty, and the one-minute super short, Serpo, and a secret surprise premiere. No, that's not the title. It really is a surprise. Liam Macrogiannis' short film entertainers include Lady Zombie, Baron Misuraka, whose music's on the Big Scary Show on occasion, and Kayleen Speranza. Vendors include horror show Jack Fangsmith, Dungeon Films, and author Serendipity Bloom. You can get all the information you need at facebook.com/CafeZNJ. We have a little news on a TV adaptation of The Exorcist via our friends at Designing the Fear. Look out, boils and ghouls, The Exorcist is getting a reboot. Fox has ordered an adaptation of the 1971 book. The show is said to be a modern reinvention of the original work by William Blatty. The Exorcist is inspired by alleged true stories of demonic possession. The story follows Reagan, a 12-year-old girl who is taken over by evil, and the two very different men that try to confront this evil and help Reagan. The Exorcist film grossed over $232 million at the box office and is still regarded as one of the scariest films of all time. Jeremy Slater will be writing the one-hour drama and will executive produce with James Robertson, David Robinson, and Barbara Wall. 20th Century Fox Television will produce the show in association with Morgan Creek Productions. We have this news from the Factory of Fear in Moline, Illinois. Join the Factory of Fear for a unique way to celebrate Valentine's Day. You could waste money on a movie and sit with 200 strangers, or you could tour the Factory of Fear in the dark for a more intimate experience. Don't worry, we'll give you a glow stick to light the way. New rooms, new characters, a unique free opportunity to get your picture taken with the Sean Flynn Photography 7173 photo booth, and admission is only $15. Get more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/factoryoffear. We have some convention news from the Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, North Carolina. Lewis Tripp will enter the gate of Mad Monster Party 2016. Lewis Tripp from The Gate and The Gate 2 makes his convention debut at Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, March 25th through the 27th. Bahomet E.M. Tripp, formerly known as Lewis, is also a published writer of horror fiction and released the dark industrial music project XAOS. That could be chaos, don't know. So be sure to stop by and meet Baff to catch up with his latest work. Mad Monster Party is presented by WCCB, Charlotte's CW. For more Mad Monster Party info, tickets, or the chance to win one of their limited discount hotel rooms, visit madmonsterparty.com. We have a little more haunt news from the Nightmare on 19th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Are you ready for the most amazing Valentine's ever? Bring your sweetie to Nightmare on 19th Street's My Bloody Valentine. The entire park will be open on Saturday, February 13th. Enjoy Blood Moon Manor, The Wastelands, The Lost City, and Clown Town 3D. It's the perfect date night. The box office will be open from 7:30 to 11:30, and get more info at nightmareon19thstreet.com. 19th is a number, not spelled out. And finally, we have a little book news regarding Tim Burton. Steels Publishing has just announced a new book entitled The Napkin Art of Tim Burton, Things You Think About in a Bar, which will set you back about $20. This mini companion to the award-winning The Art of Tim Burton provides a glimpse into the mind of a man who spends most of his life on the road, often finding himself in random surroundings. Burton conveys thoughts, ideas, and memories with simple sketches on the most convenient surfaces available, a napkin. In his own words, these are a collection of random thoughts, things, moments, feelings, done in bars, restaurants, hotels, and strange places all over the world. They were drawn quickly as a stream of consciousness wherever there was a napkin. The Napkin Art of Tim Burton is available at www.steelspublishing.com, or you can find it on amazon.com and probably your local bookstore.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Dante Tomaselli, Dark Knight of the Soul, on the Big Scary Show.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Lights,
Scare Actor Spotlight.
Greetings, Haunters. The Unknown Scare Actor here. You know, I've done a whole lot of things about phobias. I've done some things about legends and lore. But you know what? I got to get back to the root of why I do what I do, and that is scare acting. The name The Unknown Scare Actor, of course, it is the worst kept secret in the haunt industry. Most of you know me as Jim. But you know what? I want to do something different. I want to bring scare actors to the forefront. I want to give them the spotlight. So this is the new segment, Scare Actor Spotlight. And my first guest is close to home. I've worked with her haunt. Her name is Tina Wood. She is from Springboro Haunted Hayride in Black Bog in Lebanon, Ohio. And we're going to start here. So Tina, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Jim. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, and thank you for being my first guest on this new segment.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, I got to ask you, first of all, what got you started in doing what you do? What makes you scare people?
Well, I've always loved Halloween. I've always liked dressing up. You know, the little girl inside me is always likes to dress up. And I was fortunate enough that my husband and I, we got married almost 15 years ago. We got married on Halloween. It was his favorite holiday. And we just built from it. It was, we knew that every Halloween we were going to be with our children on our anniversary. And I would do little haunted things in my backyard. And when I heard about the Springboro Haunted Hayride and a chance to actually work at one, I jumped at it, and I just love it. I love the energy, and I think, you know, Monsters, Inc. had something going with the whole scaring people thing. I know people making people laugh is a good thing, too, but scaring people's fun, too.
Okay, so you love Halloween, or otherwise you wouldn't be on here, because I'm a big fan of it myself. What are some of your inspirations? Did you watch horror movies when you were a kid? I mean, where did you draw some just that gritty, I want to do this?
Well, it's funny. I did watch, like, Nightmare on Elm Street and Freddy Krueger, but I'm not a huge horror fan. It's kind of funny. My kids like to watch them, and I watch them with them, but I'm not that. I think it just comes within. I can't say where I draw it from other than being a mom and the fact that my kids scare the crap out of me all the time, so it's nice to be able to, you know, give that back. And it's just a creativity. It's just an outlet and a release. And I've gotten more into it this past year, thanks to you, than ever. And that whole every time we would come back and I'd change my look a little bit, or all right, and like especially the one mask, and you know it was. I like that thrill. I like that rush of, you know, freaking people out. And not knowing what to expect.
Well, there's nothing like that first scare of the season. And, you know, I've watched you grow. You took my class last year, and I've watched you through the season. And some of your ideas were just, I mean, your makeup ideas were creepy, which is a good thing.
Right. Well, and I took it from a lot of things that are very innocent. You know, like dolls or the things that, you know, wouldn't normally every day, you know, things that would just normally be scary, and made them scary. Because, you know, anything can be a demon or a monster, and that a lot of times it's from your imagination or whatever. But what about the thing that's right there in your room just all of a sudden wanted to kill you?
Well, you know, I love the fact that you were bouncing ideas off of me over the season. And one of my favorite ideas that you had was the doll with the button eyes. I know one other person that does something like that, and his name is Telfor Knight. And he works for my group mall, and he does something similar. But you with that and the burlap really just, and the stitched mouth was just perfect.
Well, thank you. That was like I was sitting there. And I had the hair, you know, I had my yarn hair in, and I thought, well, how could I do different for my face? And I just had burlap sitting there, and I had latex, and yeah, it just kind of went from there. So my eyes were actually sewn in after the fact. I had my son help me drill holes in them and everything and sew them into my face as the latex and burlap was on my face. So It made it hard to see, but only in daylight. At nighttime, it was great because you had tunnel vision, and so it was fine.
Well, nighttime's the time when we scare, so it worked perfectly.
And it was great.
So let me ask you, over this past season, what was your favorite scare? Did you have a favorite?
I don't know. You know, being that we do a hayride, you know, every wagon is different.
True.
And so, you know, you could get a wagon full of duds that, you know, you can't scare them. But then you'd get the ones where the people are just hitting the floor and, you know, or they'll say, "You can't touch me." And, you know, you get right in their face. So it was fun with the challenge of what was going to come next and who was on the actual next wagon.
Okay, so no real specific one, but it was just, like you said, the challenge of who was coming next.
Right.
Is there anything that stood out in your mind at all? You know, a specific group that just kind of freaked out a little more than normal, or...
Well, teenagers, always. Teenagers always get a little bit more freaked out. Actually, that and really big men. Sometimes when you can freak them out, it's wonderful. Because, you know, they're big guys, and so if you can freak out a really big guy, it's kind of funny.
And I've got to agree with you, because the big guys, they usually come in, I mean, and on a hayride, it can't be any different from any other place, but they're just there, they're the big, tough guy, they can't be scared. But when you scare them, or make them, even just make them jump, and lose a little bit of face in front of their friends, it's a win.
Exactly.
So, let me ask you this, what was your favorite... part of working at Springboro?
I think it was the camaraderie and the working with your next... just working with everyone. That whole... trying to bring the whole thing together and not trying to think of it as just like your scene to be the scare. You know, we were the first scene, so we were the setup scare. So if we could freak people out at the first scare, it meant that the rest of it was going to just knock their socks off.
Okay, and I've got to say, I mean, that first scene, I mean, the way they reversed the hayride and made you guys the first scene really worked. Because I went through it twice, once while my crew was working, and then, of course, the second time when we came at the end of season, and I wasn't disappointed either way. You guys just, you took my lessons to heart, and the entire crew, they're just a great bunch of people. Yourself and Mark and Joni, they've got a lot to be proud of.
Oh yes.
And Bill, of course. You guys all have a lot to be proud of what you've done, and I can't wait to see what happens next year.
Oh, I can't either. I can't wait to just, you know, I like the whole fact of that we have to use our resources next year and not, you know, they're banking on big builds or anything like that. And so to me, like, I like to upcycle and make things out of just everyday weirdness and make it absolutely creepy. And when I can go and look at my children and they're like, "Oh God, Mom, that's creepy." And then, believe me, they live with me. They know how much they're like, "Eh, yeah, that's not as scary."
Well, yeah, that's the kind of passion I like to hear in scare actors. And that's one of the reasons why I chose you to be my first guest on this segment. Let's do this. Let's throw out a plug for Springboro. Go ahead and give, you know the website. Give my listeners the website so they can check it out.
I believe it's SpringboroHauntedHayride.com, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And
it's a great haunt, and it's worth every dollar, and I fully support that place and all the actors that work there, and even the people that run it. They're amazing.
And I've got to attest to that. You know, they may not have the big budget that some other haunts have, but it is well worth the time to go check them out. SpringboroHauntedHayride.com. You won't be disappointed. Tina, thank you so much for being a guest on this first episode of Scare Actor Spotlight.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and I look forward to hopefully training you guys again this year.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hooked.
And I am the Unknown Scarecrow along with Tina Wood, and we'll be right back.
And remember, listeners, if you're a scare actor who's interested in talking about what you do and how much you scare people, just drop me a line, usa@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get you on the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the time of the show where, if you're lucky, you could be a winner for the February edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com. Check out all their cool stuff, and you might even see them at Transworld. Who can say? Anyway, I'm about to ask you a question. The answer is in the show. Please, if you think you know the answer and want to win a great prize, send it, your name, your number, and the answer to contest@bigscaryshow.com no later than midnight, Monday, February 15th. Now, without further ado, the Gruesome Giveaway for the month of February is... How much money in tickets did Larry Kirchner sell last year? If you think you know the answer, contest@bigscaryshow.com, your name, your number, and of course the answer before Monday, February 15th at midnight. We will pick a random entry and you could be the next winner here on The Big Scary Show. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, that music that you're hearing, courtesy of Mr. Virgil Franklin, does mean it is time for the Roundtable of Terror. And of course, my goodness, Transworld is just, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks away? Very, very fast approaching. Got lots of things going on there. So we decided to grab somebody who knows an awful lot about what's going on in certain aspects of Transworld. I first of all want to introduce our hosts, including Storm.
Greetings from the new and improved deepest, darkest reaches of the earth.
I'm Jordy Nelson.
Absolutely. That new microphone is killer, and it sounds like it comes with its own theme music. Wow. Back from the dead, apparently, and in better health, the Unknown Scare Actor.
Thank you. You stole what I was going to say. But yes, I'm back and whole and healthy and not a zombie anymore.
But you are rocking the hellacious beard right now, so that's
pretty cool. I was about to say, it's debatable if you see the latest picture.
Way out in the high deserts of Nevada, the haunt rocker Jerry Vane.
You mean the snowy high deserts of Nevada where it's been snowing all day?
My name is Drew Badger, where it was 71 degrees today in Charlotte. And, of course, as I mentioned at the top of the thing, we are going to talk a little bit about some stuff going on at Transworld and some other things with the man who needs no introduction. So, how are you doing tonight? We're actually talking to Larry Kirchner, none other than Larry Kirchner, owner of the Darkness, which is playing a big part of Transworld this year. Larry, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, we're hanging out there. You're in St. Louis right now?
Yeah, and by the way, I'm still mad at you guys because the Unknown Scare Actor has never come to the Darkness during the Transworld tour and acted, because I'm still infatuated with the Unknown Scare Actor.
Anytime you want me to come and act, I will, Larry.
We got a bromance.
Well, until he does, I'm boycotting the show. And I'm only boycotting after the show's over.
So. Just boycott his segment.
Yes, only his segment.
Which he's debuting a new segment of the show, so be sure to listen and boycott that.
But if he comes and acts, then I won't boycott it, okay? I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
It's like you're going to have to pack your cowl when you get into Transworld.
Challenge accepted.
There you go. So, Larry, I know you've got some big things happening with the Darkness, including potentially, if I understand correctly, maybe not being in St. Louis for too much longer. What's going on?
Well, I think you almost said San Diego. And,
I almost said, I could have said many things, but I called.
Well, if you were talking about San Diego, you know, I probably would be definitely staying on the beach somewhere. I'm considering some other options. There's a lot of tax issues in the city, among other things, that are hindering, you know, being very profitable in the city. The city's got a lot of problems, okay, you know, with car break-ins and graffiti and high taxes and so on and so forth. So I'm considering, you know, moving the darkness to the county, okay, here in St. Louis, or I'm considering, you know, moving to Indianapolis. But I'm actually going to open a haunted house in Indianapolis either way. So even if I keep the darkness where it's at or move it to the county, in the St. Louis County, I'm definitely opening a haunted house in Indianapolis, and I have an exciting plan, and I think it's going to be an incredible plan, and I really love the city in Indianapolis, and I'm going there in June to look.
Very interesting. Would that be something that opens up in 2016? Would you be able to build something that quick, or would this be 17 or 18 or beyond?
No, what I would do, and, you know, and I've said this to people, and people never believe me, but, you know, I don't want to open the darkness for a trans world just to open, okay? I believe in, you know, doing something spectacular, and, you know, and for me, spectacular is, like, over-the-top outrageous. And that costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time. So instead of doing another Darkness Haunt Tour, I would spend the money to open something in Indianapolis instead. So instead of working morning, noon, and night to try to meet a deadline in March, I would shift all my attention to, you know, when the haunt season was over, immediately, you know, go to Indianapolis and start building there instead.
Okay. So people don't need to worry. The darkness will still be in St. Louis, at least for this year.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely be there this year. And we're expanding it, you know, which no one can believe. Why would you consider leaving if you're expanding it? But expanding it is important because it's ridiculous taxes in the city. And property tax, earnings tax. We have the highest tax in the whole state for state tax. I mean, just to have the privilege to have a business in the city, you got to pay 2% more. I mean, it's insane. Plus, the city has this tax called amusement tax. So on top of all that, they charge another 5% amusement tax. I mean, it's so crazy. You can literally, and by the way, in the city, just recently, they tried to raise minimum wage of $15. Now, you tell me a haunted house that could survive paying $15 an hour to 100 people. I mean, that's unheard of, okay? So one way or another, I have to, you know, get ahead of the curve a little bit, because that actually passed. And then some lawsuit triggered, and then so now they have to do it all over again. But if they raise minimum wage, I would have no choice but to leave. So I'm either going to go in the county, or I'm going to take everything and take it over to Indianapolis one way or the other. But one of the things I'm doing is by building these escape rooms and building this additional haunted house that we're building, hopefully we'll be able to create additional revenue to help offset all these taxes and everything. So that's the hope. And if it doesn't work, then we're going to move.
But as you said, this would not affect this year, nor would it necessarily affect what's going on at Transworld this year. What is going on with the darkness at Transworld this year? You're always known for having amazing tours and a whole lot of cool stuff going on.
Well, you know, one thing I would tell you is, like, I talk to a lot of people, and they say, well, they come every year. A lot of people come every year to our haunt tour. Some people say they go every couple of years or whatever, and, you know, whatever it is. But I will tell everybody, if they wanted to come see it, they definitely should come this year, because this is going to be the biggest one we've done. We've partnered with these people, Bobby Sutton, who runs this business called Zombie Apocalypse. And he's going to be giving we built this new haunted house. Now, to be clear, we owned a building next door to the darkness, okay? And so the whole upstairs was vacant. So we're building everything up there. It's about 10,000 square feet. So we're building a new haunted house. It's a zombie-themed haunted house, okay? And so people will be able to tour our new haunted house. Now, here's the funny thing, Drew. Every year people come through the darkness, and I'm always at the exit, and they say, well, how long has this haunted house been here? Because, you know, it seems like, you know, to do what you've done would take an eternity. Love to see what you could do you know, from scratch. So now they're going to see what we can do from scratch. We're building a 4,000 square foot zombie themed haunted house. It's going to be incredible. Okay. And when we're not touring it as a haunted house on our behind the scenes tour, or if we're not, when we're using it on Saturday night, it's going to be a zombie laser tag demo. And let me tell you how awesome this is going to be. People are going to be able to go to this demo. It's only $30. And they're going to learn how to utilize their existing haunted house to utilize it year round doing zombie laser tag events. Okay. So they don't have to do anything but utilize what they already have. They need the combat weapons, of course. And by the way, we don't sell them, so I'm not peddling them. I'm just telling you, if you come to this demo, you're going to get to play an abbreviated game, and you're going to learn how to own, operate, and market zombie laser tag. So we're doing that, and that's on Wednesday night and Friday night. And then we're also doing something that we've never done before. We're doing an escape room event. Okay, we're building world-class escape rooms, and I'm doing a private tour of that, and I have four experts who own different escape room games, and you're going to be able to physically go into escape rooms and like figure out how they're run and everything. Plus there's going to be a seminar. We're doing that on Friday, and then of course we're doing behind the scenes tours. We're doing our events live on Saturday with actors, and this year they get to go through an extra haunted house, which will be the haunted house called Silo X. It's a zombie themed haunted house, so it's actually gotten much bigger this year. It's going to be very exciting.
Are you going to be hiring actors off the trade show floor and who are coming in to visit like you have in years past, or are you going to stick with who you have?
Well, we'll put an announcement out there that if anybody wants to work, you know, to contact us, we absolutely, I'll tell you, it's been a blast having people from the industry show up, especially like clowns and Terror Visions. That's the craziest thing. All these weird clowns show up and they're so nutty. And, but yeah, and we've been doing stuff with Gore Galore, which, you know, he's been having all of his, stuff outside, and, it's been exciting. We've had drones flying over, you know, we've been making really cool videos, but, yeah, I mean, we'll have live actors. We'll have live actors in Silo X, the Haunted Houses, Terror Visions, and if anybody from the outside community of St. Louis want to act, we would love to have them.
Well, see, this would be a great opportunity for the Unknown Scare Actor.
Yeah, well, we need the Unknown Scare Actor. I think that's the only reason we don't do bigger numbers, because they want the Unknown Scare Actor there.
Well, then the Unknown Scare Actor's got to bring those numbers in, right?
Yeah, you got to bring those numbers in.
And when you talk with him, everything is bigger, especially waistlines, right?
Exactly.
I thought it was his beard.
So, by the way, if they go to thedarkness.com, we have all the information. It's a little confusing, so I did make a YouTube video. It's 10 minutes long. It kind of explains everything. So if they watch this video, they'll understand. But people should do the zombie laser tag, and they should do the escape room, because it really is going to be the best educational experience that they have, because these are things that are really hot in the haunted house industry right now to try to become more year-round. People are trying to figure out, how can I make money outside of Halloween season? And we're going to put on two world-class events that's going to help those people do that. And by the way, we built the Silo X haunted house from scratch, and we're making a new how-to video called How to Build a Haunted House from Scratch, which we'll have available at Trans World. And so that's going to be exciting as well.
So, Larry, the buzz is that you were in New York last week with Dwayne Sanborn, and you guys made a purchase of some kind, didn't you?
Yeah, that was, let me tell you something, that was an amazing experience, because our company, as you know, we build attractions all over the world, and we helped build Jekyll and Hyde. And people are kind of confused, because I've talked to a lot of people, and they go, yeah, we went there like 7 years ago. Well, no, this is not the same one. They closed that location, and they moved to Times Square and built one from scratch, and they must have spent $10 million. This place was amazing, okay? And, well, one thing, I don't know what happened, but it closed. And the people who owned the building contacted me many, many months ago. Actually, I think it was in September, and asked me if I was interested in buying everything inside. And then all of a sudden, I didn't hear from them anymore. And so I didn't think they were going to do anything. Well, apparently, somebody rented the building, and they wanted everything out in 5 days. Okay. And it was in the middle of the biggest snowstorm New York has ever had, you know. And so they said, get up here by Friday. You got to get everything out. I mean, literally on a drop of a dime. We we went up there. So instead of me buying everything, I talked to Dwayne Sanborn from 13th Gate and asked him if he wanted to buy half of it. And he said he did. So we had about 16, 18 people up there tearing the place to pieces. And we worked literally 30-something hours in a row on the last day to get it done. Because and this is a funny story, because we're sitting there and we're trying to take stuff out, and some construction crew came in and they start spray painting all over everything that we're buying. You know, and it says out, 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 you know, because they're going to tear everything apart. So, yeah, we tore the whole place apart, and I posted a couple pictures of how it looked like, you know, and it was in ruins after we were done, because we were just taking stuff and just throwing it around. I mean, it was insane. But we took out about, I would say, somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 to $3 million worth of animatronics and props and one-of-a-kind stuff that had been collected that was left there. And I took three trailer loads of stuff. Dwayne took three trailer loads of stuff, and lots of stuff was left. And if you're going to ask, you know, a lot, one of the main reasons why I wanted it, because it was a lot of these like talking type animations and stuff, and I really wanted them because I wanted to use some of them in my escape rooms, and I wanted to use a lot of them in an attraction I'm going to build in Indianapolis. Okay, so it's going to be really exciting. It's not a haunted house. It's going to be something that's part of the haunted house I will build there to keep the business open year-round. So I was really excited about it.
So you didn't actually physically buy the Jekyll and Hyde Club. You just basically bought the interior, it sounds like.
Correct. Like, the people who owned the building, and by the way, it was in the old Time building, like where they printed the Time newspaper. And, you know, that building's worth like $800 million, if you can believe this. Like an old brick building, $800 million. You know, they say location, location, location. Well, so the Jekyll and Hyde restaurant closed. I don't even think it was open a year and a half or so. And the thing was about 40,000 square feet. I mean, it was gigantic. And there was one animation that I took out of there that was over $100,000, okay,
wow,
for one piece. Dwayne took out of the Frankenstein set that was well over $100,000 as well. It was a nightmare, let me tell you. But we got so much stuff. It's not even funny. We got stuff from the original Jekyll and Hyde, and then the stuff that was new, you know, in the new Jekyll and Hyde. But you're talking about millions of dollars of animatronics, and we were able to get most of them. Some of them were taken before he closed the restaurant. He took about 8 or 9 pieces, you know, like he knew he was going to close, so he took them, okay? And then the rest was left, and anyway, it was quite the experience because it was a snowstorm going on while we were trying to get into New York. Twists and turns of, you never know what you're going to do next.
Wow. So I hope you went home and just slept for like 3 days.
Well, you know, the funny thing is we worked, the last day we worked, we got up, we didn't get there till 2 in the afternoon because everybody was so tired from working 18, 19 hours the day before. And we worked, and then we left around 2 or 3 in the morning, and we drove straight home. So everybody was up for 30 some odd hours in a row the very last night. I mean, we took turns sleeping in trucks, but yeah, we drove straight through.
Wow. Well, folks, we are talking to Larry Kirchner of The Darkness in St. Louis, Haunt World Magazine, lots of other various haunting related things. We're seeing what's going on at Transworld and other things, traveling around New York City, maybe moving to Indianapolis. Lots of other stuff coming down the pike, but first we got to play this really important message from our very fine sponsor, Necrotic Creations. Take a quick listen, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations.
Necrotic.
You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com. Shop in person at the Transworld Halloween and Haunted Attraction Show in St. Louis, booth 922.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror with Larry Kirchner from the Darkness in St. Louis. Lots of other cool things going on. All the hosts are here asking questions. I know Storm had a question. What's going on, Storm?
Sure, Larry. With expanding your attractions and the popularity of the Haunt World site, there's word that you got some exciting new ideas and opportunities with ticketing for Haunts. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that last year, HauntWorld.com, it attracted over 10 million visitors last year. It's very exciting. We were ranked in the top 10,000 websites in America. I mean, it's amazing how many people actually want to find haunted houses all in one place, like they do hotels or airlines or rental cars or whatever, right? Or real estate. And that's what people want. They want to go to one place and find everything. So a few years ago, I decided that I really wasn't that fancy. I mean, I've used different ticketing companies. I won't mention their names. I wasn't very happy with them. I wasn't happy with the way the tickets looked. I wasn't happy with the way the system worked, okay, because it didn't do everything that I wanted. Because you have to remember, all these ticketing companies out there, their systems are made on a broad scale, like for a bar, a restaurant, or a concert or whatever. So they're kind of scattered across a lot of different types of industries. And I think that the haunted house industry is very unique, and it's constantly evolving. Like, we've got escape games or different things that are happening. So I didn't want to pay 75 cents either. I didn't want to pay a dollar, okay? Because the ticketing company, to be honest with you, could be run out of a closet, okay? All it is a program online, and then you have salespeople. That's all it is, okay? So Haunt World is a much sophisticated system, so we decided that we would make our own. Because last year I sold over $1 million of tickets online. And by the way, I'm doing a seminar at Transworld where I'm going to teach people how to sell $1 million worth of tickets online. And I would suggest everyone buy that seminar, because I'm going to change haunted house industries, their business. I'm going to change it. I'm going to help them, sell more tickets online and make more money. So we decided to build this ticketing system, and I decided to guinea pig it myself this year. I didn't ask anyone else to piggyback it, be the guinea pig. And I sold over $1 million with it. I did fantastic, and it was the best system, because I designed it for myself, for a haunted house owner, right? And we've constantly done some upgrades and some improvements, and we've taken a lot of advice from different haunted house people. And we're going to offer the haunted house industry tickets as low as 16 cents a transaction. 16 cents, okay? And the difference for some people, okay, will be they will save hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay, because of the amount of tickets they're selling online a year. Some people have said that's going to buy me a Ferrari. That's going to buy me trackers for my hayride. I mean, that's how much money we're going to save people. And one of the things that we're going to do is really interesting that none of the other ticketing companies do. We're going to try to create a Haunt World out of fear tickets. So on the front end, it's going to tell you what's the hottest selling ticket in your city, the region, state. It's going to tell you who's got discount. It's going to have ticker tapes and tell you like promo codes. We want people that are looking for scary attractions to go to fear ticket and find something scary near them. And so they'll be able to find the attractions opposed to just the haunted house is sending traffic to the ticketing company. So we're going to also try to help sell their tickets through Fear Ticket, through Haunt World, and then, of course, the traffic that they send to their own ticketing page, of course. But we're going to save the haunted house industry millions of dollars by giving them the opportunity to buy tickets for as low as 16 cents. And I'll tell you how we're going to do that. We're not going to have salespeople. We're not going to have accountants or anything else, okay? That's how I have all my programmers, my same team that's doing Haunt World, and we're really excited about it. And I've already got some big haunts signed up, like 13th Gate, Dwayne Sandberg, Tony Wogamuth from Spooky Woods, and the list goes on and on. So we are extremely excited about it. And fearticket.com is going to go online within the next 10 days, and people will be able to download the app, and everything. And by the way, when everybody who's buying tickets for the Darkness Tour, they're using fearticket.com. So, wow. It's very exciting. I'm telling you, I'm going to save the haunted house industry millions and millions and millions of dollars over the next 5 years by giving them the option to buy tickets so cheap that it's not even funny. I mean, it's going to be fantastic.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, I don't know how companies make their profits. I assume it's in per ticket sold, but that's interesting.
The ticketing companies charge haunters, okay, to use their service. They charge them 75 cents to $2 is what they charge, okay? And that's how they make money. And then there's other companies that want you to use their credit card service or whatever so they can get a percentage that way. We're not doing any of that. You're going to use your own, credit card, you know, or your own, bank account. So all the money goes directly to you. You know, when you go to a bank and you open an account, you can get a merchant account, okay? So you'll use your merchant account. The money goes to you. We have nothing to do with it. We're providing a service that allows you to sell tickets online securely, okay? And people are able to, you know, print tickets just like all the other ones. The only difference is I have the best system, and it was created for haunted houses. It's going to work perfectly, and it's going to be fantastic, and you're going to save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And I'm going to create tools that are going to, like, even make it better. And you know what we're offering, Drew, that nobody else is offering? And I put this out there. If you can think of any single thing that you think would make the ticketing system better, you go to any of these other ticketing companies and you propose it to them, and they tell you they can't do it, okay? They can't do it. Well, guess who will do it? I will. So if somebody comes to me and says, man, it would be great if you could make the ticketing system do this because there's some new social media thing that popped up, I'll make it happen. And not only will I make it happen, I'll make it happen the same week. That's the kind of programmers that I have at my disposal to make this work. So we'll be at Transworld signing people up, and it's going to be fantastic.
Interesting.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's move on to the magazine and the website. What's up? What's new at the magazine and the website right now?
Well, the new magazine is going to be fantastic because the old magazine is about escape rooms and year-round businesses. So we have an article from the Juvies, you know, the Headless Horseman. And I don't know if you knew this, but they transformed their haunted hayride into this thing, you know, this Christmas hayride or something. And so they've written an article about how to take your existing haunted house and switch it around for Christmas. There's two or three articles about how to build an escape room. There's articles about how to do zombie laser tag. So the whole issue that's coming out right now, it's actually mailing today. Well, when your show airs, it would already have mail. But if they go to hauntedhousemagazine.com, they can get a subscription or get the issue. But the whole issue is about how to utilize your facility year-round. That's the goal that we have with the magazine, is to help people make money. We're not writing stories about some silly haunted house, okay, that, you know, supposedly is haunted and you want to go on a paranormal investigation or something like that. All the articles are about from real haunters who are trying to share their knowledge with you to help you make more money. And so that's what this issue is about. Now, the next issue is going to come out right before Transworld. And we have two articles from our one of my favorite haunts in the world, Haunted Overload. And he's teaching you how to, like, make some of the figures and characters that, you know, he had at his place. And we have an article from Alan. I don't know if you've ever had Alan on your show. Alan Hopps.
Oh, yes, many times.
Yeah, he wrote an article about all the things that they're doing with their Dark Hour haunted house to be open year-round, okay? So the next two issues have a lot to do with how to keep your haunted house, like, reutilizing it outside of Halloween. So we're real, real excited about that.
Larry, I've asked this question to other people, and, you know, would love to get your opinion on this. Dark or escape rooms have just completely exploded over the last year, year and a half or so. Your opinion, is this a long-term, brand-new, permanent faction of the industry, or is this going to be...
Okay, sorry, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, yeah, you know what? Somebody called me, and that clipped me off, so, the last part, so you'll have to start over.
I'll ask you again. Let's edit this part here, Jim.
Okay.
Still up.
Yep.
All right, Larry, I'm going to ask you the question that I've asked a lot of other people here. With the just complete meteoric rise of escape rooms, Do you see this being a permanent part of the industry for the next 10, 20, 30 years, or do you think this might be a flash in the pan, 4, 5, 6 years, and all of a sudden they're gone type fad?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, by the way, and I'm probably one of the only people in the industry that could actually answer that question, because I've been in the industry for a long time now, and I've been involved in a lot of things, and I've helped a lot of people build attractions, okay? And we've seen a lot of fads come and go, okay? I remember when 3D haunts came out, okay? They were a huge fad, okay? Then they just, like, disappeared, okay? Nobody wanted them anymore. And you know when people started doing 3D haunts again? When I did my haunted house tour at the Darkness, because people saw a 3D haunted house isn't walled with paint, okay? It can be an actual haunted house. And then everybody got into 3D again. But we've seen a lot of things come along recently, like zombie runs, okay? And it's pretty funny that these zombie runs got really popular and they were making tons of money. Then every haunter in the world started doing their own zombie runs, right, and mud runs, and they failed, okay? Because that whole business came and went quickly, okay? Because of the expense, you know, people didn't want to pay. You know, people realized, wait a minute, I just paid these guys $80 to run 3 miles. This is ridiculous. So that didn't last very long. And then you had other fads, like, for example, zombie paintball, which is a fad that I guess to some degree is still going on. But I don't think that's going to last, because I ran zombie paintball for 3 years. My customers got bored of it after the first year. Why? Because it's not scary, okay? And for a haunt owner, it's very, very expensive to run it, okay? Because you got to buy paintballs, you got to, you know, it's very slow to load and unload. And I think it's a gimmick, it's a marketing gimmick, okay? And I don't think zombie paintball is going to last, but I think it's a good gimmick for a haunt who's struggling, and you add it and you get a little punch out of it for a year or two, and then it fades off into nothing. And that's what I experienced. So when we get to something like escape rooms, and by the way, that's not the only fad that's going on. We also got the fad of doing these extreme haunts, right, where they torture you and all this other stuff. And that seems to be another fad that's going on right now, which I'm not really happy about it. But with escape rooms, I would tell you that this is a huge, huge thing in Europe, okay? And that's where it started, was in Europe. And it came over here to Canada, because you know, like, half of Canada speaks French, right? So it made its way into Canada. In Toronto, for example, they have like 28 of these facilities, okay? And then it made its way to California and Vegas and tourist towns, and now it's sweeping the country. So what we have is we have a lot of escape rooms that are already set up, and I'm pretty sure the haunt industry is going to try to take it over, okay? Because that's what they do, right? They're good at it. The thing about escape rooms right now is the majority of them that are open that weren't opened by haunters are very poorly themed, okay? They don't have animatronics. They don't have special effects. They're just escape rooms. And I think what's going to happen is the haunted house industry is going to grab onto this like an eagle would grab onto, you know, food, right? And once it's in its talons, it's dead, right? And I think that you're going to see a lot of haunted houses open escape rooms, and they're going to be better than the ones that are out there now, because they're going to be better themed, they're going to have special effects, they're going to be taken to another level, in other words, if you get what I mean.
Sure.
And I think that right now you're seeing a lot of escape room franchises, okay, like Escape the Zombie and things of this nature. But when haunters get a load of, you know, doing this themselves, I think that Escape the Zombie, the franchises, they're very basic. And I think that if there is legs to the escape room business, that I think the haunted house industry is going to snatch it 100%, okay? Where they didn't snatch, for example, the zombie run fad that came and went, you know? And I think that the haunted house industry is going to take it over, and you're going to see a lot of these franchises go out of business, because haunters have something that these franchises don't have. They have a connection to the community. They have already pre-built Facebook pages or mailing lists, right, or avenues to advertise and things of this nature. And they're going to build better ones, and that's what I think is going to happen. If the escape rooms have legs, great. But everybody who's doing them right now seems to be making a lot of money, and they're not very expensive to build. So I think they're a low-risk investment to try, and I think they're going to make haunters a lot of money. And here's the greatest thing about escape rooms, okay? They bring in corporations, okay? That's who's booking these things for team building, right? And when you're trying to run your haunted house in October and you're trying to market groups to people, the escape rooms is helping bringing you an audience you weren't getting before, so now you can remarket to those people about doing groups to your haunted house. So I think it's going to be fantastic for the industry. If it has legs, it does. If it fizzles out in 2 or 3 years, who cares? I think it's going to be a benefit to the haunt industry.
Sounds like a plan, Larry, and, you know, you're ahead of the curve in an awful lot of things, and, you know, as we all know, we had Jim Braverman on a couple of shows ago that, you know, they're dedicating Escape Room City, a large portion of the backside of the vendor floor to this, so, you know, anytime you put that much time and effort into it, you know, this is going to be a big thing, and we're absolutely glad to have your opinion on that.
You know, the one thing I would add, though, is that Escape Room City, because Jen, she contacted me and she was saying, hey, you know, can we do your escape rooms? And I told her, quite frankly, haunted house owners don't want to go to escape rooms, okay? They just want to learn how to make them, okay? Because that's the haunter way, right? And I think the only people that are going to do well at Transworld in terms of escape rooms are people who sell puzzles, not people who are selling escape rooms, okay? Haunters are doers. They're not, they want to know how to do it. And that's the exact event I'm going to host, okay? You're not going to play escape rooms. You're going to get a seminar that explains how to do it. And then we're going to put you in and we're going to walk you through it. Instead of trying to figure it out in 60 minutes, you're going to figure it out in 10 or 20 minutes, each one. And that is what I did. And by the way, I owe a lot to Dwayne Sanborn because I went to 13th Gate. And by the way, he has fantastic escape rooms down there in Baton Rouge. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. And I would highly suggest people come to my event because I will have Dwayne there. He will be one of the speakers. And so will, do you know Brian Warner?
Yes. From Evolution.
He'll be there. And this other guy named Vinny from Puzzle Props, who, by the way, is a very, very intelligent, very smart guy. And I'm going to have four people that are going to explain how to build them. So you can go on the show floor and you can have all these pitches or whatever, or you can just come to me and I'm going to explain how to build them yourself. That's my agenda.
Very nice. Well, Larry, we're looking at the clock on the wall. It looks like we're going to need to wind this down. This is the part of the show we like to call the plugs. And I know you've got a lot of things going on with Haunt World, with the darkness, with all the new stuff coming up. So where can people get more information on the darkness, the new ticketing system, Haunt World magazine, maybe subscribe to it, and everything going on in the fascinating world of Larry Kirshner.
Well, thank you. You know, the one thing I'll say in closing here is, you know, I am only concerned with helping people in this industry do better. That's what I've done my whole entire life, is try to advance this industry. And these haunt tours are an extension of that. And we have partnered with the zombie people, the zombie laser tag, and we're not having anything to do with it. All the money goes to them. The escape room, I want to teach people how to build their own escape rooms. The haunted house tours, we want to help people, like, learn how to build things and do things. And that's going to be great. And I hope everybody comes out and they can go to thedarkness.com. And then, of course, my ticketing system, which hopefully will also help haunters save millions of dollars. This industry as a whole will save millions of dollars. It'll go online very soon. It'll be fearticket.com. And then, of course, if they want the magazine, you know, it's hauntedhousemagazine.com. And then we got some new videos coming out, which I told you about. We're making a new video on how to build a haunted house from scratch, and you can get them at hauntedhousesupplies.com.
Excellent. Well, Larry, again, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Round Table of Terror. We never seem to have enough time, but of course, time waits for no one, much less the four good hosts, including Storm.
My new fad for 2017 will be The Invisible Haunt.
The Invisible Haunt.
Brilliant concept, if you can pull that off. The Unknown Scare Actor.
I have got to go work at the darkness this season at during Transworld. So, Larry, I'll be contacting you.
If you don't come, we're canceling the haunt tour.
Oh, well, then I have no choice.
You heard it. I put it out there. We'll refund everybody's money if you don't come and act.
It's going to be a Spartacus.
This is being recorded. You know this.
Yeah.
No pressure at all. He's already.
Well, there's going to be like 100 unknown scare actors showing up at the haunt. It's going to be like Spartacus.
They're all members of Maul.
Exactly.
The haunt's for medalist Jerry Vane.
Larry, you still haven't used my music, dude.
You know what? We want to. Hey, by the way, Drew, just for people who are unaware, because some people might be like, are you doing any renovations to the darkness itself? And the answer is yes. We're building one fantastic scene from scratch, and we bought a ton of new props and animations to sprinkle throughout the place. So there will be new stuff in the darkness, but the majority of the new stuff will be the new haunted house we built in the escape rooms.
Sounds like a plan. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte. Just wanted to tell you I did a little quick bit of research. Larry said that Haunt World made the top 10,000 most visited websites, and I filtered all the porn sites out of it, and he cracked the top six. So congratulations for that. Anyway, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show. Don't you go change it.
The unknown character's got a porn site?
Hello everyone, Drew Badger here. We are live at HauntCon in Birmingham, Alabama, and we're checking out some cool vendors and everything. And, you know, you see all the vendors from the usual places. You see your fog companies and you see your makeup companies and all this. But there's one here that's just a couple of blocks down from the hotel and where we're having this thing, and they've got just the coolest and real prop. These aren't really props. These are like real, like, body parts and bones and cool stuff, kind of steampunkish in a way, and lots of medical stuff. If you're looking for just some genuine stuff that's not foam core or anything like that, but really flesh and bone and brains and other parts, Birmingham Oddities, Birmingham, Alabama. Got Adam, the owner here. Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having us.
Now, these skulls that you've got in the cabinets back here, they look pretty darn realistic.
They are real, in fact. They're all coming from retired medical libraries, institutions, private personal collections and such, and we've got quite a few of them.
So what? How do you ask this? How does one go about buying human skulls from retired medical labs or things like that?
Great question. I've been in this for a long time, so frankly, they find me a lot of times. Otherwise, you can find them in auction houses. A lot of the schools, for instance, will auction off their items after that they've not been used for a long time. And just being connected with the right people will help you find most of these things.
And everything you've got on this table here, you've got a cattle skull here, you've got brains and hearts and pig skeletons, piglet skeletons, bone fragments and brain fragments, looks like preserved turtles and all sorts of other kinds of creatures here. This is all real. These aren't props.
That's true, man, and the list does go on. I mean, we've got some not quite authentic shrunken heads, but they did come from the original Peruvian tribes that shrunk heads. They're made from goat skin, and it's got real hair on it, and it's shrunk in the same way. A lot of the brain specimens, for instance, came out of the old collections of neurologists and doctors. But no kidding, man, the list goes on and on about some of this crazy stuff.
Are they abnormal brains that somebody could use to maybe do some work with?
One of them is labeled Abby Normal, and quite jokingly, it is that, in fact. One of the specimens came out of an old insane asylum. It's actually labeled with the patient information on it, and it says that they had schizophrenia. The brain's chopped up into many pieces and used for laboratory studies.
So haunted houses could use this stuff, you know, just everywhere. I mean, just laboratories and mad scientists and, you know, dinner tables and all sorts of cool stuff it looks like.
Right, right. We're actually appealing in two ways right now. I find that a lot of people are really stoked about this stuff to put in their own personal collections. So a lot of guys are buying, for instance, our X-ray lamps and just putting them on their desks at work.
And that is an actual X-ray of some sort of body part that's been made into a lampshade?
They are. We use a lot of the teeth, for instance, a lot of the skulls. Those things are the things that people recognize the most. But we've got feet and hands. We've got these picture frame boxes that have they're actually light boxes. So let's say your dog got hit by a car and you've got the X-ray. You can actually display this stuff at home as your own. You know, you get your neck surgery, whatnot, you put your own X-ray in these light boxes. Wow. They got really pretty ornate picture frames around them, and they end up looking great.
And you've also got kind of a steampunk-esque kind of flair with a lot of this stuff.
That's true. A lot of this stuff comes from like the 1920s, 1930s anyways. That's kind of the era, the Victorian period for steampunk. So some of these like quack medical devices, like the electroshock therapy device or our sigmoid scope, which is a rectal probe, these things really have a steampunk-esque aspect to them.
Did you get that from the alien ship that abducts all those people and does anal probes on them?
It sure looks like it, man. It's not, though.
I mean, just the stuff you've got here is astonishing, and the fact that you're just a couple blocks down from here, I'm sure a lot of people are going to go wander down and check that out. However, for those who aren't here or in Birmingham, how can they get more information, maybe see a catalog price list and get more information about, you know, the lamps are really cool, the skulls, the brains, body parts, all this steampunky-looking rectal probe, electroshock, embalming machine stuff, all just amazing stuff.
Yeah, great. We're at BirminghamOddities.com. We're on Facebook at Birmingham Oddities. You can follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Birmingham Oddities.
Fantastic. Adam Williams, a pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger. We are live at HauntCon in Birmingham, and we're out.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Dr. Frankenfingers, an unholy citadel on The Big Scary Show.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger live at HauntCon Birmingham, Alabama. We're talking to vendors and chatting up with everybody. And, of course, if you're a haunted house, what's the most important thing you need? Well, it's not necessarily your actors, or it's not necessarily your props, or it's not necessarily your set designs and all that. It's making sure people know you exist. You know, if they can't find you, they can't come see you. So how do they find you? Well, one of the cool ways is findahaunt.com. Got Tom Strong from Find a Haunt. How you doing, man?
Hey, doing great. Welcome here.
So tell me what Find a Haunt is. I mean, every haunt owner in America, Canada, basically the world needs to be on findahaunt.com, I assume, correct?
Absolutely. We want to have a listing for everybody. Our goal is to make sure that every haunted attraction, corn mazes, hay rides, pumpkin patches, escape rooms, you name it, we want to know about you so we can tell people about you and get people right to your door.
And, of course, the first question would always be, what's the catch?
The catch is, if you would like one, we will happily sell you a featured listing, but there is no requirement. Our basic listings are, have been, and always will be absolutely free.
And what do you get with a basic listing? Say I'm, you know, Bob's Scary House, and I want to be on Find a Haunt, and I live in, Sheboygan, Michigan, or Sheboygan, or wherever, Wisconsin, Michigan.
It's one of those
northern states I don't live in. So I live in Sheboygan. I have a haunt called Bob's Scary House. What do I get on Find a Haunt?
Well, hopefully what would happen is Bob would come along. We're set up so Bob can actually list his own house. So he'd come in. He'd set up his listing on the site for Bob's Scary House in Sheboygan, tells us exactly where it is, tells us when he's open, tells us all about it, what else he has. Does he have an escape room there? Does he have a maze with it? Tell us about all the things he has, puts all that into the website, in the database. That way, whenever somebody's searching in the vicinity of Sheboygan, we can have him on the listings that we show to anybody who's looking there.
And that's the free listing. There's absolutely no obligation for that. Is there pictures? Are there maps or things like that so people can find Bob's Scary House?
Well, we reserve the pictures for the featured listings, but we will list you there. You'll be on the listing. You're on the map. The map is for everybody. We actually have, when you pull up the information, if somebody sees Bob's Scary House, wants to find out more, they can click on it. Brings up a page that'll show exactly when you're open, what your prices are. If you're using HauntPay, the payment site that we recommend, your payment link will be right there on the site. You don't even need a website. We can take you straight to your payment site. There'll be a map on the right side that shows the directions from whatever location they put in right to your parking lot, step-by-step directions below that. Click on a button if you're on a phone. That'll even pop up in your Maps app on the phone so you can get spoken directions right to it without ever leaving the website, and that's on the second click.
Okay, let's say Bob is now extremely successful and wants to buy the little upcharge for the premium membership. What does he get in that package?
If you're in an area that has a lot of attractions and you want to stand out from the crowd, in addition to the main free listings that are listed from the closest to the farthest away, we have featured listings that also copy you up to the top of the list. We don't touch the main listings. They're still there. Everybody's still in it by distance. But featured listings show up on the top, also in order of distance, if there's more than one in the search area. But they're a lot more prominent. You can have some graphics there. You can have a sales pitch right there with your name before anyone even gets to your page. On the individual page itself, you can have a large banner graphic, make it look like it's part of your site. We have a couple of attractions that are actually using that as their website.
Interesting. So all that is what you get with the upcharge. Can you narrow the search down? Like, I want to know where every corn maze that has a pumpkin patch during the day is within 50 miles of Tulsa, for example.
Almost.
Almost.
We have a couple of distances, anything from 10 miles out to 150 miles. Longer than that, you'll probably search where you're going instead of going to one big search. But you can narrow it down to 10 miles. Let's say you're in New York City. There's a lot of haunts, and you're taking a cab. 20 miles is too far. If you're out in somewhere a lot more rural, you might need 150 miles to see a good selection of haunts. Once you have your distance, if it's still too busy, by the time we can get the information in there, you'll be able to say, I want to know who's within 40 miles of Sheboygan and open next Tuesday that has an escape room.
Okay.
But what we need the haunts that we're listing to help us out. We can't promote you unless we know about you and know about what your haunt has and when you're open. we need you to get on here, take care of your listing, take ownership of your actual listing, and set up the days that you're open and what type of attractions you have. If you've got a corn maze, if you've got an escape room in addition to your haunt, tell us about it. Let us know what's there, and once we have all that information in, then when people want to narrow down the searches, we can make sure you show up.
So literally every haunt owner in America should be going and signing up for this, because there's no obligation for the basic.
Correct. There is no obligation whatsoever. If you see us at a show, if we see that you're in a crowded area, we might suggest you consider it, but there is no obligation. We will continue your free listing. There's no anti-compete. There's nothing. Everybody is welcome. We list home haunts. We have featured home haunts. We list everything from somebody in their garage up to Universal Studios.
Wow. So how does one go, I've got a new haunt that I'm going to put in. I'm a yard haunter. I'm getting ready to go to professional. I live in wherever. How do I get my feature up on Find a Haunt?
If you go to just about any page, well, go in, check us out, see what's in your area, see what's there, and see what things they're talking about.
Now, you may be there and not even know it, correct?
Correct. When we set up the site, we went out and researched haunts around the country. Started with a list of about 8,000. By the time we got rid of the ones that weren't actually haunts, weren't actually open, we were down to about 1,500. Since then, we've grown by about another 1,000. We have about 2,500 out there, about 60% of which are ones that we put out there in our research. We found that they're there, verified that they were open, that they were a haunted attraction or something related, put them in ourselves. What we'd love to have is, if that's your attraction, let us know. We'll switch it over so that you can take care of it in the future. If you aren't listed at all, I mean, sometimes we miss haunts that have just opened up. On almost every page, at the bottom of the page, is a link that says List Your Haunt. Click on that, and it can get you walked through the steps to create a listing for your attraction.
It takes about how long?
If you have all the information, probably about 10 minutes. What usually happens is you don't realize how much we're asking for about your haunt, and you might not know, for example, all of the days that you're going to be open. That's okay. If you don't know some of the information,
subject to change.
Right.
As well.
Fill out whatever you got, and if you figure it out later, come back and add it. You've got an account on the website that lets you edit your listing anytime you want.
Excellent.
So if you've got an attraction, let's say you're weather dependent, people don't want to come in the rain. If it's raining out, put up a special, rainy night special, 2-for-1. As soon as it stops raining, log back in, take it off. Soon as you hit save, the next person to search sees the new version.
Very nice. So where do these people go in order? What's the website, the social media? How can people go ahead and take advantage of this free service, but you'll sell them a premium package for a small upcharge?
Our name is our address, findahaunt.com, findahaunt.com. Go there on any web browser. It'll work on a phone. It'll work on a computer. We haven't found anything it really doesn't work on. If you're on Facebook, search for findahaunt.com on there. We have a page there. But really, that's more for posting some pictures, some things we see at the sites. And we're pointing you back to the website itself.
Well, it sounds like every haunt in America, from the smallest yard displays to the biggest mega haunts, and we all know who they are, needs to be on findahaunt.com. So once again, folks, if you own a haunted house, a pumpkin maze, a trail, you know, anything like that, go to findahaunt.com, set up your free account, do all that good stuff, because, hey, if they don't know you're there, they're not coming to visit you, and they're not spending their money at your place, but maybe the person who is on Find a Haunt, that's where they're getting their money. So once again, Tom Strong, a pleasure to have you here on the Big Scary Show.
Glad you can come and visit.
We love coming to HauntCon this year in Birmingham. Next year, who knows? We'll find out, and we'll tell you on the Big Scary Show. My name is Drew Badger, and we're out.
Do you hear that? The asylum is being overrun. It's time to go to Von Caron Productions and check out the Insane Ensemble. For those troublesome lunatics, they have the commitment coat, a straitjacket designed to keep them restrained. Or, if you're the doctor who likes to experiment, then the psychosurgical coat was made just for you. Go to Von Caron Productions,
www.voncharon.com. That's V-O-N-C-H-A-R-O-N. Von Charon Productions. Get there before you too are infected by the madness.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, flipping through the channels this week, I found the latest, you know, horror haunt genre to cross into Deep Cable, and I found Zombie House. Yeah, that's right, zombies have gotten into home improvement and house flipping. And literally, that's all this show is. A zombie house is no different than any of these other house flipping shows, where we just have these random people who sort of know what they're doing, but you kind of not sure if they do, and they're pretty much just buying ugly houses that need work, and ooh, we need to tear down a wall, and we'll make it nice. But for some reason, we'll refer to it the whole time as a zombie house, which no one's ever referred to, you know, a fixer-upper as a zombie house ever before. No, we're just doing this to bring in audience, tap into the horror and zombie market. So it leaves me wondering, what are we going to see next? What type of shows will this lead to? You know, keeping up with the Kardashian vampires? I mean, they're gypsies, so maybe the werewolves. I don't know. Just take away their waxing for a week and they might look like werewolves. But, you know, enough said with that. You know, tiny House of the Mummy, Tiny House of Wax. I don't know. I mean, we're just going into some place where horror and haunts don't belong, these deep cable shows. So I think we've jumped the shark yet again, another ridiculous zombie thing getting into culture. When will it stop, people? We thought with the sparkly zombies it would stop, but nope. Here we are. We're stuck with Zombie House. There's absolutely nothing you can do with this with your haunt. We just need to rant about that this week. So until next time, keep every minute scary. And if you're naming your haunt Zombie House, just give up now. Give up. Go on. Give up.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at HauntCon Birmingham, Alabama, checking out vendors, all the cool stuff here. Seeing these guys, you know, at pretty much every convention I go to these days. You know, you've seen the Attack lunging puppets and all those things that scream and yell and laugh at you and all that cool stuff. VFX is a pretty cool company. I got Doug Shaver here. Doug, you got some new stuff this year.
We do have some new stuff, yeah. We have, came out in November, we got our lunging line puppets. Pat is playing with in the background here, but they lunge about 4 feet out of a crate, but just by you pulling the sides open, so it's all manual.
I was going to say, how does that work? Because yeah, that's just something right there.
Yeah, that's all. It took me about a year to engineer that. Made a cable mechanism that could actually pull a scissor mech and make him lunge out of the box. You split the box open so it looks like he's breaking free and coming at you, and I've already scared a couple people around here today.
I've seen a couple people that are like, I'm on the phone, leave me alone!
She screams at it, and it's good that she's my neighbor, so I can just sit here and scare her for 3 days. So.
Now, if only you could put some little hydraulic here where there could be like some like liquid or something that shoots out at that.
It's in the works.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
Yeah, that's been in the works for a little while, too. Oh, okay. So, but then we got our new chainsaws. We're calling them our Psycho Jack line, like Lumberjack, but obviously a psycho.
These are like very clown-esque. This one looks really real, but this one is a bit day-glowy.
This is what they're calling the Psycho Clown, obviously. But this is UV reactive, and then we got our Puppet Master sound system built in, which will go over... Oh, starting it up. Goes over 100 decibels. And then the clown one, well, we added a... There we go.
Oh,
extra noise, but then you got your scream in the background. So even if you don't make them scream, you can have a scream going.
Someone's going to scream when they see that, especially in a full clown outfit in a 3D or some kind of UV type of light.
We're working with another company that does some UV clown masks, so we'll probably have a whole character built for them by Transworld, hopefully. But yeah, the Psycho Jack and the Psycho Clown saws is UV reactive. They weigh about 5 pounds. That is with the sound system built in. The cool thing is the sound system does not have any external pieces. It's all built in. The battery's in it and weighs about 5 pounds. I think at the most it would be 10 if I do any retooling on it, but I don't even think it'll be that.
What kind of battery?
It's a lithium-ion battery. Lasts 6 to 10 hours on a charge. Does over 100 decibels. So inside a haunt, that's where the fire chief gets you, and you can't have a regular, chainsaw.
There's
so
that pesky poisonous gas and all that stuff.
You know, emissions and stuff out of a chainsaw inside a haunt for a while. You know, the actors get really funny on it, but, you know, it starts to get to people. So, yeah, you know, it's not new for everybody. You know, there's been chainsaws out there. We decided to make it because people kept asking, well, you know, we had a cardboard box with our sound system in it to show you could retool a chainsaw. Why don't you guys make chainsaws? Well, everyone else, there's other people that make chainsaws. So we decided to make chainsaws, and this is where we're debuting at this show. So we got the new Psycho Jack line chainsaws, or Psycho Jack saws. So tomorrow I will have a Psycho Jack t-shirt on. I have a logo and everything for it already. Oh, so
selling those?
Currently not, because I made two, one for me and Pat.
We're double XL, by the way. It's all shoulders. It's not
fat. We will
fat.
Be getting
yeah, broad yeah. shoulders.
I did make a 2X. That is what I'm wearing. So...
The
Psycho Jack chainsaw by itself will also hopefully have a full character developed around him with a red and black plaid straight jacket to go along with Psycho as a lumberjack / psychotic lumberjack. So
because you just can't have too many chainsaw welding clowns in a haunt, right?
Yeah, clowns and just crazy people with chainsaws, and you know, chainsaws have been around. I used to love going to the haunts. I still go to the haunts. I used to love going to the haunts, waiting for the chainsaw guy, and it pissed them off to no end that I would actually scream like a girl, run from him, and then run circles at them, and they'd be like, oh, he's not afraid of me. I'm like, I do this. It's cool. I just wanted to give you, you had some fun. So, but yeah, everyone, you expect a chainsaw or two in a haunt, so we're making them since people kept asking for it. We didn't want to step on other people's toes that have been out there making them forever, but it's like when you have customers ask for it, multiple times, it's kind of like, all right, we'll make a chainsaw.
You got a trend developing here.
So
you got the lunger here that leaps out about 3-4 feet here, which is it's an unidentifiable creature with very large fangs.
Yes,
I must say.
Experiment 46 is what he was named, but his nickname is Maurice.
Oh,
he
no,
was in the studio one day, and the Steve Miller Band came on, and he started singing along to Some People Call Me Maurice. So he got the name Maurice.
Does he have the pompatus of love?
He does, and he's a joker in a, I don't even know if it's the same song.
Yeah,
Midnight Toker? No?
Anyway. But you've got these others. I think I've seen the rat before, but I've never seen the dinosaurs.
Brand new dino, baby T-Rex. Pat did not get... too creative with the name. We actually had a friend sculpted who does stuff in all across the country.
Does he have the tiny arms?
The dinosaur does. The sculptor does not.
I was going to say, you can call him Stubby.
We could do that. I'm going to come up
welcome.
With a better name. Drew is naming stuff for us and giving us great ideas today. So, but yeah, brand new baby dino, because we've been selling what we call Feldman as our regular baby dino to theme parks since last November, IAPA, and theme parks at Jurassic Park came out last year. We didn't even think about it when we did it, or this year. And the dinosaurs have been taken off again. So it's like, all right, we got like three dinosaurs in the works for all the theme parks. Haunted houses, we've had a couple buy them. I know like Scare Factory makes a giant dinosaur and they sell them to haunts. I'm like, okay, I guess dinosaurs can work in haunts.
Netherworld
houses.
Had a dinosaur wandering around a parking lot last year.
They have our sound system in his mouth, actually.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yes, Netherworld, Max Benson actually built our sound system into their dinosaur so they could actually hear it. So I was very happy. He's mad because we don't have the Minion which is hopefully going to be out by Transworld again, is our wireless version of the sound system. Nice. Does up to 12 sounds, has a PA system, can control lights and servos. So be on the lookout for that. The Minion will hopefully be back in action for sale, hopefully by Transworld. Don't quote me. We got new prices because we had to get a new manufacturer, and that was the whole reason everything was on the hold for them for last year, unfortunately.
And, of course, you've got the old standbys with the clowns and the scarecrows and all those.
Our whole attack line, which we have new ones in the works, but new at this show is Chokles. We did have at Transworld. And then Sally and Psycho, the two brother and sister, the clown and the zombie, and then the Cobb Goblin Scarecrow, which that's an interchangeable head one, so you can actually take the scary head off and put the family-friendly head on, which we have hanging up on the pole as well. So if you have a farm, you could do the family-friendly head of the daytime, and he says stuff like, hey, have you seen any crows around here? I must be doing a pretty good job. And then, of course, Cobb Goblin has the creepy laugh, kind of like our clown, and it's... And you can have custom audio made for him, too. Obviously, I'm the voice. And he can say stuff like, welcome to Creepy Hollow! And we've done that a couple times to make custom audio for your puppet. If you need custom audio, we do it. I'm the voice for most of them. Pat's the voice for a lot of them.
Well, that leads me into an interesting or very apt segue for people interested in Stubby or the clowns or the lunger or the rats and psychos and everything that attack puppets, which basically... You know, is really, really disturbing. And other things, how can they get more information, websites, price lists, etc.?
Well, obviously, if you're HauntCon, stop by and pick it up.
This is airing after HauntCon, you realize.
So, obviously, if you're not here while we air this later, go to VFXCreates.com is our website, or you can call Pat and bug him at 618-530-7982, and he'll love that when his
phone... tell him Doug sent you.
Yes, do that all day long. Tell him number two. I am number two because I'm the shh. The whole way. Are we allowed to cuss on your show?
Of course.
Okay, I'm number two because I'm the shit.
Okay.
We do have trading cards.
Nice.
We have trading cards. I am number two on the trading cards. So,
oh, how cool.
So I just tell them that's because I'm the shit.
So VFXCreates.com for all your attacking puppets, chainsaws, psychotic clown things, even little videos and... Look like refrigerator magnets of skulls.
Yeah, we started
and cool
making
stuff.
Some magnets, and we got those here. And we'll,
you're just going to town with all the new stuff.
I make a lot of stuff, and hopefully it comes out at some show at some point, and hopefully I get time to put them on the website. So if you don't see magnets on the website and you want to see them, just ask. They're on the Facebook page. I'll make it and send it out to you.
Very nice. So VFXCreates.com. Doug, always a pleasure to speak to
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
And Patrick and all the other things that are attacking him at this moment. Once again, Drew Badger here live at HauntCon Birmingham, Alabama. We are out.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com for all your gore and more.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at HauntCon in Birmingham. Of course, if you're at a haunt convention, you're probably going to run into Froggies. And, of course, who's always at these conventions? Well, usually it's that other guy, but we got Tater this time. How you doing, man?
I got a cape.
As always, and it's a very nice flowing one this time.
I got it redesigned. Isn't it awesome?
It's beautiful.
Isn't it? I thought so.
So what's going on at Froggy's this year? You got something over here that says new.
We do. I was actually just sitting in that spot until...
Until I got here.
Yeah. But I put a... we debuted a brand new Hurricane Chavez Hurricane machine at this show. It is a... It's called a Hurricane 1600. For the first time ever, it has a continuous output.
So not a time, 10-second, 20-second. This is as long as it's running.
As long as it has fluid in that tank, it's going to pump out this fog.
How long will that fluid last?
Depends on how... Now, that was the other thing. It's got an adjustable output as well, so you can turn the fog down if need be. First time ever on a Chavez machine. And if you don't want to mess with that, then it does 25,000 cubic feet of fog a minute. That's 5,000 cubic feet more than... Most haunters have, which is a 1301.
That's roughly maybe the size of this trade show.
Yes.
You could fill this entire room in how long?
4 minutes.
Wow.
4 minutes. And it has DMX input.
The rapper DMX?
Yes. Yeah, he comes in and he sings his little songs. He
drops his beats and off you go.
Yep. So just to recap, adjustable output, continuous output, DMX, 25,000 cubic feet a minute, and if that's not good enough, 4-minute warm-up time. Because we know sometimes haunters forget to plug in their machines.
Ain't that the truth?
And they have to wait. Well, we don't like the waiting, so we put a 1,500-watt heater core in that machine.
And how do you not, like, burn down the building with that?
Well, it's got metal on the outside.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But it still comes with a timer. Okay. Still has that, you know, timer if you want to do the timer. And with that timer, you do have the option to set your output as well for the first time ever. And it's $199. Yeah. The 1301s that do less and don't have DMX is $149. That is $199.
So you could just upcharge $50 and get this little number right here, as opposed to that old thing that nobody else. It's instantly obsolete compared to this thing.
They actually stopped making the 1301 for about 4 weeks, and then we went back and said, "No, you should make that machine again," just because we know $50 in some budgets is a lot of money. Yeah. So we want to give everybody an option if we can.
Any new scents this year? Any new product lines coming out as opposed to these foggers?
Yes, we will have some new products probably at Transworld. Not allowed to discuss those yet.
Got it. You haven't been drinking enough.
Some people have already seen it if they went to the Halloween Party Expo. There was a machine there that there was a demand that we have answered for a fog machine and a bubble machine combined, so the bubbles have fog inside them. So enough people asked us, so when you pop the bubble, you get a little pop of smoke.
Very nice.
So.
And you should make those the flavored ones, and maybe you can have, like, flavored fog inside there, like whiskey flavored or something.
No. We don't even do flavored bubbles anymore because the shelf life was... It was
just not good.
Just not. It wasn't a good shelf life, okay. So we've kind of shied away from that.
Okay, no problems there. For people wanting more information on the new stuff or the old stuff, the new stuff may be coming out at Transworld scent wise, scent boxes, of course, all your famous frog juice. Where do they get all that information?
www.froggiesfog.com, facebook.com/froggies, and an FX, because we always have those Froggy Free Friday giveaways. And now we have Tater Takeover Tuesdays, where they've unplugged me. They've taken the ball gag and the filter out of my mouth.
And the cape.
No, I still have the cape.
Oh, good.
Said, go for it, Tater. Do whatever you want to do on our page for Tuesday. It's very dangerous.
So what could you possibly do on a Tuesday if one was interested?
Well, last Tuesday I gave away a $600 fog machine. Because I felt like it was my day. So you never know. The profile picture got changed last time. You know, all sorts of things happened on last Tuesday, on the last time. So
basically what you need to do is like these guys on Facebook, like Froggy's Fog FX on Facebook, follow them and just see what kind of, shall we say, shenanigans go on during Tater Takeover Tuesday. And, of course, there's still the Free Friday giveaway where you give away some kind of really cool thing.
Always some sort of prize on a Friday. If we remember, like I just remember today's Friday, and they probably hate me, but $600 machine on Tuesday, I think that makes up for it.
So anyway, froggiesfog.com or follow them on Facebook, froggiesfogfx. And all that good stuff. And Tater, I'm sure there will be a lot more shenanigans going on with you and everybody else here at HauntCon in Birmingham, Alabama. My name is Drew Badger for The Big Scary Show. And, of course, special correspondent Tater, cape and all. And we're out.
Tell Gary I said hi.
Will do.
Shadow Symphony. The dead are watching on The Big Scary Show.
in a world of generic one-size masks.
Ugh, this mask is too tight for my head. I can't see.
Where you don't have time to wait to be scary.
You're taking too long. Just throw something on and get to your scene.
Darkest fears unlimited. Masks, props, and blood that will make your haunt scary.
All right, this mask fits perfect, and parts of it are even pulsating. Finally, I'm going to scare every night.
DarkestFearsUnlimited.com.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at HauntCon Birmingham, Alabama. Unfortunately, it is Sunday afternoon. It's starting to wind down, although there's plenty left going on with HauntCon, with classes going into Mondays and stuff. But I have to get on the road to get back to that pesky 9-to-5-er so I can afford to do things like drive down to HauntCon. So I thought we'd chat with Leonard, Leonard Pickle, the owner of HauntCon. Leonard, how's it going?
It's going fantastic.
It looks like the show's been very well attended. I mean, I see the classrooms are full with people. You got a whole slew of things going on. Every day I've been here so far, the tours were well received. I went to Warehouse 31 last night. That was insane. Love that. All the good things that make HauntCon what it is. It seems like you got another successful one on your hands here.
Yeah, we're really excited. Everybody had a good time. Our attendance is up, so we're looking forward to next year.
Which you can't reveal to us yet because nothing's been signed and all that, but I'm sure that at some point, hopefully, we will chat with you about HauntCon 2017. Can't give us one last little possible?
Sorry, no.
Not Albuquerque.
No, it might be Albuquerque.
So, you know, I find it interesting, and we've talked about this a little bit, that, you know, one of the reasons you moved to January was because of all the conventions that were in April and May, and most of those, for all intents and purposes, are gone. So is there any possibility you might move back to the April-May time period and then open up, say, like the northern half of the country where it might be a little bit warmer to go and check things out? Because, again, January, you pretty much have to keep it south. Your words spoken many times.
Yeah, we're wide open to anything. Our whole goal is to make HauntCon viable and make it something that people have to go to. And we've looked at other months, but right now we're going to stay in January.
Okay. So at least 2017, you're going to stay in January, so we're assuming it's going to be a warm weather climate at that point. So what were some of the highlights of 2016 here? I mean, again, you know, I went to Warehouse 31 last night, loved it. Traffic was awful getting out there with the interstate and all, but we won't talk about that. But what were some of the big things going on this year?
You know, we were really excited about the pre-show tour. You know, we went back to a two-day tour and had 15 haunts on the tour. You know, we really good about listening to what people say. Last year, when we were in Baton Rouge, we had just a one-day tour, and everybody says, no, you know, we realize that you were trying to only see the really, really cool haunts or the high-quality haunts, but we want to see everything. So we expanded a little bit, went all the way to Atlanta to see some cool stuff, and so we're really excited about that. All of the tours have been up as far as attendance-wise, so we were able to spotlight some haunts that people probably have never ever heard of, but they're really, really cool haunts, and of course they all have the love for the industry and their drive and creativity that is part of the backbone of our industry. So we're excited.
It looks like you've started bringing back a few, shall we say, celebrities. You've got at least three folks here from The Walking Dead and some other things going on. Is that going to be a trend? I mean, I remember back in Milwaukee and other places, you would bring in a couple of movie star type things or some celebrities and things. Do you have plans in that for next year?
You know, probably not, because they were in Atlanta and we were close by. It made sense. There was kind of a zombie theme that was kind of running through this because the pre-show tour had some stops for the Walking Dead tours, and they were close enough. They really wanted to come, so we just added them because we thought it'd be fun. And they did a seminar on how to audition for the Walking Dead and how to learn how to walk like a Walking Dead zombie. So it was kind of fun. We experiment with all kinds of different things, and, you know, people come up with ideas all the time, and if we can figure out how to incorporate them into what we're doing, we do it. So because we had kind of a zombie theme anyway, we brought in some zombies from The Walking Dead.
Why not? With the just exploding popularity of escape rooms, are you looking to do something big escape room-wise in 2017? I mean, it just seems to reason that that's going to be a big thing in the industry over the next few years.
Yeah, I honestly think that the haunted house industry is going to take over the escape game industry because they've been doing it. Some of the, the escape games have been huge around the world for many years, and they really just hit the United States in the last year. But they didn't know what they were doing, because when they introduced it to the haunted house industry, we really have taken over as far as what a haunted house is an interactive game. It's an escape game in and of itself, just with no locked doors. So now all we got to do is lock the doors and bring that level of creativity, that level of detail to the escape game industry, and I think it's going to be huge.
And they had escape rooms in Birmingham that were they're not officially sanctioned as part of HauntCon, but there were groups of people, I've seen them posted on social media, that a bunch of them have been going to a breakout Birmingham and things like that.
Yeah, that'll never happen again. We'll never go to a haunt. They'll never go to a city that has escape games if they're going to go to that instead of my party. But we definitely will continue. We had a couple of classes about escape games, and it certainly is going to be a part of the haunted house industry, for the short term, maybe the long term. So yeah, we'll add more of that kind of stuff. And a lot of the classes that we offer are stuff with like our Rust class. We did a Rust demo class. Those kind of things are always going to be that set dressing and detail stuff is always going to be, viable for people that are in the escape game industry, that, they should come to our show.
Sure. And again, as I said, I have to leave on Sunday. So what's going on Monday? I mean, that's usually the day of the all-day classes going on. So for people who, they can't obviously make it this year, but for next year, thinking of staying over an extra day, like into a Monday to check out stuff, what are examples of some of the stuff that you usually offer on the Monday classes?
Well, we've got an all-day makeup class with Nick Wolf. He's a fantastic body painter and world champion body painter, actually. And he's, always a big ConCon supporter. So he's going to do a class on, advanced FX makeup, full-day class. And Kyle Vest, who's just a character, he really is really fun. And he's going to do some airbrush makeup. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to turn people into monsters with airbrush, he's going to do an all-day class on that. And then the Hotwire Foam Factory is going to do an all-day seminar on foam cutting. So if you've ever been concerned about exactly how that works, and that class comes with the foam cutting kits that you use in the class. So, our Monday classes are very much hands-on. I'm going to teach my how to get started in the haunt industry, opening your first haunt deal on Monday, and I really thought that it kind of played out, and I was almost hoping that no one would sign up for it so I could go to one of the other classes. I've always wanted to take Nick's class, and Kyle's would be awesome. But a whole bunch of people signed up for it, so I'm going to have to teach it now. That's too bad.
All those pesky haunted house owner, potential haunted house owners, just want to learn how to get started, just spoiling your fun.
The industry is growing. Every year there are more haunts, and the haunts that are out there that are doing well, there's like a 5 or 10% increase each year. So the haunt industry isn't going anywhere. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and the opportunity, the HauntCon has kind of niched itself into how to, getting people started. And if you're in there and you're struggling trying to figure out how to make a living, that all of our education, which is included in the price of the show, is the cheapest and the best investment you can make in your industry.
Let's touch a little bit in July. You've got Chicago Frights coming back for year two, and later in July than normally. What can you confirm or tell us about Chicago Frights 2016?
I can confirm that we just barely got the contract written in time to print the program so we could announce it. We're looking forward to our second year in Chicago. There are like 70 haunts in the Chicago market, so it's just massive. And it's a little bit different from HauntCon, and we're trying to steer it even further away from HauntCon in that it's later in the year, so you're never going to have any gigantic animatronics companies that are going to be there. But we're going to do a whole track on actor training, So we're hoping that the haunts will pay a few bucks and send their actors in and let us train them for them. It was really, really well received this year last year when we did it, and we're looking forward to bigger and better. We actually outgrew the hotel that we were in, so we're moving hotels because we had to get more space.
Can you confirm where it's going to be this year?
It is. It's going to be at the, I think it's like the Comfort Inn and Convention Center that is in Orland Park, Illinois. So it's just the south-ish, I think.
South Chicago.
From Chicago, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a great spot. It's a beautiful building, and it's got some potential, and we're looking forward to being there maybe for several years. It'll take us a while to grow out of that one. Maybe, maybe not.
And there'll be tours, and there'll be classes, and there'll be a trade show floor, and, of course, parties and a hospitality suite, world-famous hospitality suite at Chicago Frights.
Yeah, but again, we're because it's so late in the year, we're really kind of gearing it as a startup for Halloween, and it's more directed at the fans, people that just love Halloween, more like a Scare LA than like a HauntCon. So it's a little bit of a hybrid right now because we know the haunt industry better than we know the fan base, but we're definitely trying to push that direction. And one of the things that we discovered at Chicago Frights that we never even thought about is all the people that come to Chicago Frights drive in, so it didn't make any sense for us to offer buses. Because nobody wanted to be on a bus, because they are all driving. So it was, it was a learning curve the first year, but it was very critically acclaimed, and everybody had a good time, and they're looking forward to next year. We were able to sign up, like a third of our vendors bought last year for this year, not even knowing where it was going to be or the date. So we're excited about that.
Okay. Well, again, Leonard, I want to congratulate you on what seems to be a quite successful HauntCon 2016 in Birmingham, Alabama. Not necessarily a place you would associate as a hotbed of haunted house activity, but they're an awful lot of haunts here. A lot of smaller ones, but, Alabama's got some good ones, and we've seen a few over the last few days. Once again, go to HauntCon.com for all that information for 2017. ChicagoFrights.com, I believe, is the website for the last weekend in July, if you're interested in heading up to the Windy City to kind of get your last second masks and weapons and maybe learn a little actor training and check out Chicago in the summertime, which I'm sure is just lovely. So, Leonard, congratulations again, once again.
Thank you.
And hopefully the Big Scary Show will make a presence at Chicago Frights and HauntCon for many years to come. So, once again, when it comes time to let us know for 2016, of course, hopefully the Big Scary Show will be the one to let you know where you can go see HauntCon and Leonard and Jeannie and everybody else related to this show in 2017, coming next January. My name is Drew Badger for the Big Scary Show, and I got a long drive ahead, so I am out. Tired of surfing all over the web to find the latest haunt news? Why sift through hours of those VideoTube channels trying to find the latest how-to videos? Isn't there an easier way? Of course there is! Introducing HauntersDigest.com. With HauntersDigest.com, just one click will put a world of haunt information at your fingertips. From the latest news, to vendor information, to video tutorials. And don't forget the soon-to-be world-famous Haunt Brief, which takes a deeper look into many aspects of the industry. There's even a directory of over 800 haunted attractions, so you can find the right one for you. Still not convinced? There's even columns written by many experts in the industry covering a wide range of topics. Rumor has it a certain member of a particular podcast might even write for HauntersDigest.com. As an extra bonus, you can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For more information, visit www.hauntersdigest.com today.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following people. Screamline Studios, screamlinestudios.com. Necrotic Creations, necroticcreations.com. HauntPay at HauntPay.com. Von Charon Productions. That's VonCharon Productions. VonCharon.com. Dark Spectre Custom Couture. Creepy Collection. Darkest Fears Unlimited. And Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse. We would also like to thank the Forga hosts, including Storm. Check out his rants and more at HauntMinute.com. The Unknown Scare Actor, actor trainer and traveling actor troupe. Find out more about Maul at MaulMonsters.com. That's M-A-U-L Monsters.com. The Hauntstrumentalist Jerry Vane. Check out his latest CD, Circus of Nightmares, at JerryVane.com. Drew Badger, actor, trainer, consultant, and more, rabbitbadger.biz. You can leave us feedback at BigScaryShow.com. If you have any news, news@BigScaryShow.com. Check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/BigScaryShow. And Twitter at TheBigScaryShow, where we just may tweet some info you won't hear anywhere else. You can also search for us on iTunes and Stitcher. To keep up with all the latest news and info, you can always find us at BigScaryShow.com. And thank you for listening. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.